We'll be in our lesson today. We're going to take a hiatus from our normal series, talk a little bit about Faith Promise Missions. So we're talking about that. If there's anyone that didn't receive a lesson this morning, you do need one. You raise your hand. Brother Steve is ready. Brother the Slingless Steve, that's what we'll call him today. Look at him. Yeah, look at him. Move his arm around. Yep. Very impressive. Pens, I think he's already on that. If you need a pen, go ahead and lift your hand. Appreciate that. Looks like one more guy in need here. All right. Okay, so as I said, we're taking a little bit of a hiatus from our field training. I'm looking forward to that. I will just make mention, next week is when I'll be out of town. I'll be in Stillwater, Oklahoma for the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship meeting. And they meet, we're part of, by the way, we're an independent Baptist church. We're not part of a hierarchy. There's no fellow, there's no authority over our church. There's no El Presidente of the independent Baptists who gets to decide what we teach and preach, who's going to be the pastor where, none of that. That's all of that I just said is unbiblical. No church has biblical authority over any other church. Zero. So I just want to mention that. So we're independent Baptists. We're not part of a hierarchy, but we are part of a fellowship, and that is biblical. And that's really, missions is all about that, right? But we're gonna talk about it today. The church at Philippi, the church at Antioch. I'm gonna call them, just for sake of clarity, Philippi Baptist Church and Antioch Baptist Church and Jerusalem Baptist Church. And we're talking about Corinth Baptist Church, who's gotten involved with certain things. And churches fellowship with each other and encourage one another and help one another, but there's no authority. You see it? That's the biblical model. And so we are part of the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship. And what that means is, anyone who's part of that fellowship, we all believe the same, right? We're all fellowship. Because what's fellowship based on? It has to be based on doctrine. It has to be. Otherwise, it's a social club. We're not a social club. Jesus didn't say, go ye into all the world and hang out. Did he? He said, teach all nations. Well, teach what? Doctrine, the gospel, the doctrines of the Word of God, and then baptize, and then to teach them to observe all things. So all of the Word of God matters. And so our fellowship is based upon what we're doing, which is teaching the doctrines of the Word of God. So anyway, anyone who's part of the JIBF, for the most part, you go into their church, and what you'll hear at that church is what you'll hear at our church. Amen? And so that's good. And then those churches can know, well, we're familiar enough with each other that we can cooperate with each other and go to each other's youth rallies, right, and help each other with missions. And by the way, most of those churches are also affiliated with Heartland, and so the churches get together and have the Bible College, which the Bible College isn't under any church's authority. It's a combination of all the churches who put that on, right, so to cooperate with each other and training the next generation of ministry workers. Okay, so this is what fellowships are all about. So the GIBF has two meetings a year, and they're all over the nation. And what I'm not going to do is fly or drive 3 days to these, but this one was close enough that I can make it. So if I can, I like to, just to make sure we have a pulse of what's going on there, make sure we know that we're good fellowship, because sometimes fellowships go south, right? And fellowships in the past have began to, you know, question the authority of Scripture and question even the sometimes the virgin birth of Christ and like creation and all these things. And so we need to make sure that we're on the same page. And so it's good to have that. But just so you know, that's what I'm doing next week. And because of that, Brother Mike will be preaching Sunday school and morning service, Brother Tim, Sunday night. The week after that is our missions commitment Sunday. And that's when Brother Andrew DiOrio will be here and he'll be teaching. And so then the week after that is when we'll be back in our series, okay? And that'll be the last Sunday of September, and we'll finish our lessons on getting to know God in September. That'll be that lesson hopefully you still have. We didn't finish lesson 11, okay? So hold on to that. October is when we'll begin to help you to learn how to teach those lessons to others, okay? That's when we'll begin to start passing out the Bible studies for you to use, and we'll be praying about who we can reach and who we can get the gospel to. So that's just a lay of the land for the next month or so. If you got all that, perfect. If you don't, You'll be all right. Just show up at 9:30 every Sunday. It'll be all right. Okay? Okay. But today we're going to be teaching about Faith Promise Missions. I've taught this lesson several years ago, but some of us maybe weren't here for it. And I just want us to, as we're talking about Faith Promise Missions, I don't want you to just trust me. I want you to understand it. So we're gonna do that today. So if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, go to Matthew 28, please. And we'll read Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission. This is what God has called us to do as His church. And then we'll talk about how He's called us to carry that out. So when you find that, if you want to mind to stand, we'll read our passage this morning. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18. Now at this point, we'll go back to verse 16 just for sake of context. It says, then the 11 disciples. Now remember, Judas was the 12th. He is no longer with us at this moment. He had already betrayed Christ and then actually hung himself. Obviously not part of the disciples. And by the way, that was the first church. I'm going to make this very clear. The church did not begin at Pentecost. The church was around when Jesus was around. He started the first church physically and bodily. The church was then empowered at Pentecost and then began to spread shortly after and other churches were planted. So this is the first church. And Jesus is very specific that he gathered the 11 together into a mountain, away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He said, come to this place. I'm going to tell you your job. Okay, verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That word power is not like strength, even though he has that. It's more about authority. All authority is given unto me, is what he's talking about. Go ye therefore. So with his authority, he sends them to do what? Teach all nations. That's specifically the gospel. All nations need to know what I've done. Okay? That's missions. Baptizing them, those who are saved, those who accepted the gospel, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then after they've been saved and baptized, then we disciple them, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So this is the Great Commission. This is our job. And the Bible is very clear. It's given us a clear model and instructions on how to carry that out. Let's not just take that and run with it and do whatever we want. Let's do what the Bible tells us to do. And so that's what we're going to explain this morning. Let's pray and we'll, with God's help, understand what this is. God, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for letting us be here together. Thank you for our church family and how you're working in them and through them. And God, I pray that you bless our time as we consider Faith Promise Missions this morning. Christ in my pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We'll just get right into it. We've got a lot of work to do. So as we've emphasized missions this month, this is Missions Month, we've made available the Faith Promise Missions cards, and so those are on the back table. If you haven't grabbed one, I would take one, and as Brother Jett said, to kind of pray over those. All that's happening, and you might be here this morning and wondering, what is this? What is missions? How exactly does missions work at Valley Avenue Baptist Church? And so what we do Faith Promise Missions at our church, and many independent Baptist churches around the world do that. Faith Promise Missions is a very effective way. That's the blank. It's very effective. It works well. It has worked well, really, since the beginning, since what we're reading in 2 Corinthians and what we're going to read in Philippians and other places. It's worked well. It's very effective. And it's effective to send missionaries around the world. But we have to know this, and I say this a lot of times, and I'm going to keep saying it until you're annoyed, and then after that too, that what we don't do Faith Promise Missions because it works. We don't do anything in our church just because it works. We do Faith Promise Missions because it is the biblical model. That's the point. It's the biblical model. It's the way that they did it in the Bible, and we're going to do everything we can to follow biblical principles, clear, direct principles from the Word of God, And then we're gonna take the models that were given. Maybe it wasn't instructed specifically this way, but it was modeled this way. And so what we're gonna do is our very best to do things the way the Bible lays it out. Okay? And that's how we came up with the structure of Faith Promise Missions. It wasn't called that in those days, but it is the same thing. And so, in our lesson, we're going to show that Philippi Baptist Church was involved with Faith Promise Missions with God's approval and blessing. And then we'll see how that affects how we do missions today. And by the way, you're going to see some overlap with what we're doing in St. Corinthians because they were involved in the same process. Okay, this is the way it worked, and it's the way it works today. So number one is this: what is missions? What is missions? We already read in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, God gave that first church, and we're going to call it for today the Jerusalem Baptist Church. Okay? You say, well, there were no denominations back there, right? Because there was only one kind of Christian church, all right? So they weren't named that. But what they were doing is what we're doing. Or else we wouldn't be doing what we're doing if we're not doing what they were doing. How are we doing? Okay? So Jerusalem Baptist Church. That's what we'll call it. And its mission was given in Matthew 28, and it's called this, the Great Commission. That's the blanks. The Great Commission. Well, what is that? Well, we read it. To spread the gospel to every nation. That's what he means by teach all nations. Basically, Jesus is saying, I came, I died, I rose again for the sins of man. And so what I need you to do is tell all nations about that. Okay? Teach all nations. Then baptize those who are converted in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we'll say more about that in a moment. Number three, disciple those who are saved and baptized. That's the order. And that's what verse 20 says, teach them to observe all things. So first we teach them, all nations, the gospel itself, what they need to be saved. We don't necessarily need to go and tell lost people all the doctrines of the Word of God, even though there's nothing wrong with that. But primarily what they need is the gospel, right? And so we teach them the gospel. And then they believe the gospel, they get saved, we baptize them. But then after that, it is important that we teach them everything the Bible says. And a lot of churches just do the gospel, that's it. That's it. For everybody, for everywhere. No revelation stuff, no eschatology, no Holy Spirit doctrine, no church doctrine, no baptism doctrine. All that stuff doesn't matter, they say. Only the gospel. Well, no, that's not true. Everybody needs the gospel. The lost people need the gospel, but those who are saved need the entire... Paul said, the whole counsel of God. Everything. Jesus said, all things. All things. And so, that's what we do. All right, letter B. Just months after he gave the Great Commission, Christ gave his church his plan. That's the blank. His plan. If you want to go to Acts 1:8, just a few books over. We're in Matthew, so Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. I'll read it to you. Acts 1:8 says this. But ye shall receive power. So this is, again, Jesus right before he ascends, like moments before he ascends to heaven. Jesus says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus said, teach all nations, and then he said, here's how you're going to do it. You're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem first. That's witnessing locally. That's our area. That's why our walk a block says reaching our Jerusalem. That's what we're called to do. We need to work our field. Right. That's Jerusalem. And then in Judea, we need to witness regionally. Regionally. So if for our purposes, if we could think of the North Central region, we're part of the North Central Independent Baptist Fellowship, and we do different conferences for that. The reason we do that is because we need to be involved with our Jerusalem, then our Judea. That's our region. The North Central region of the United States. Samaria, other regions, we could maybe consider America at large, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, which would be every nation, every nation on earth. Does that make sense? So that's the plan. That's how we do it. And so they were supposed to reach the local areas and then send missionaries to start churches in Judea and in Samaria and eventually the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the plan. That's God's plan. And so letter C, missions then is God's plan for the local church to spread the gospel by this, planting new churches throughout the world. That's what the church at Jerusalem was supposed to do. Plant more churches. By the way, we ought to be in prayer about planting more churches. We should be, we need to be involved with our missions giving and helping other people plant new churches. That's in a big way, a lot of our missionaries, that's what they're doing. But we need to be prayerfully considering ourselves planting a new church. We're going to start reaching out to Humboldt soon. I don't know that there's necessarily a need for a church there, unless there's just half of Humboldt wants to come to church, you know what I'm saying? And then we'll do that. But a drive, 20 minutes, it's 20, 25 minutes. It's a long drive, but they can come. But I would like to eventually start doing that same thing in places like Auburn, you know, 45 minutes away, 35 minutes away. They need a church there. There's no independent Baptist church in Auburn. We should be thinking about that. Places like that, Sabetha, you know, they need churches there. We should be thinking about that. And we're the ones that are right here. And we're the ones that can do that. And so we need to be in prayer about that. Okay. And so Valley Avenue Baptist Church has the same mission as that very first church in Jerusalem had. And our mission is this, to help reach the world with the gospel. That's what we're called to be. We're to be witnesses right here, like I told you. Breakdown. The ways those break down is different. It doesn't really matter. The idea is this. Start where we're at and then begin to spread. Okay? All right. And so the way we do that is by reaching Fall City, working our field, and then being involved in Faith Promise missions to send missionaries throughout the world, and we help them work their field. You see it? This is the plan. And so letter D, a missionary then, that's the blank, a missionary is a man who is sent from a local church to help accomplish missions by planting churches in other regions throughout the world. That's a missionary. It's very important, we're going to see this, that a missionary is sent out from a church. Because this mission is not given to Christians individually. This mission is given to churches. The authority was from Christ to local churches. One guy can't say, I'm going to go plant my own church somewhere. Not biblically. You need to be sent by a church with authority. We're going to talk about that. So that's why all of our, you'll see all of our missionaries have a sending church. If they don't have a sending church, we will not support them. We won't. Because they need authority from a church. That's where the authority lies. Understood? We're going to see that. Letter E, the rest of this lesson, we'll see how God used Philippi Baptist Church as a model. That's the blank. A model for Faith Promise Mission. So, number two. Paul was a missionary sent out of, that's the blank, sent out of Antioch Baptist Church. That's what we'll call it, okay? So Paul's sending church was Antioch Baptist Church. Paul did not just say, hey, God called me to be a missionary, so I'm going. That's not how it worked. Go to Acts 13, please, if you have your spot. And even if you don't, I really want you to turn there. Acts 13, because this is the model. Verse 1 says of Acts 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch, that would be Antioch Baptist Church, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So these are leadership in the church. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so right here, God called Barnabas and Saul to be missionaries. Okay, so obviously God's the one who sends and calls. But look at verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, who's they? The church. Well, how do you know that? Because here's what it says. And laid their hands on them. It's not like Paul and Barnabas laid their hands on each other. The church at Antioch fasted and prayed. You know what that means? God, when he called Barnabas and Saul to be missionaries, he also let the church know. If a guy is going to go be a missionary somewhere and the church isn't behind it, God's not behind it. How are we doing? And so the church fasted and prayed, making sure this was God's will, you see. This is what God wants. This is the wise thing to do. This is what we ought to do. And obviously it is, because it's God's plan, right, to send missionaries. And Paul and Barnabas were good choices for that. So they laid their hands on them, Now, laying their hands on them is not some kind of mystical thing. It's just saying, we're behind you, and we're giving our authority to you. And then, I'll look at verse. So then it says this. They sent them away. Who sent Paul and Barnabas? The church. Antioch Baptist Church sent them. Verse 4. So they, being sent forth by what? By who? The Holy Ghost. You see that? And so when a missionary is sent to the mission field, they are sent by God and by the church. Both. Okay. All right. So that's what happened. Paul and Barnabas were sent. They're sending church, Antioch Baptist Church. By the way, Antioch Baptist Church was a church plant from Jerusalem Baptist Church. We're not going to spend time with that. But the church scattered. The gospel was preached in Antioch. There's a group of believers in Antioch. But that group of believers was not a church yet. There was a group of believers in Antioch, and that wasn't a church yet. It was a church when Jerusalem Baptist Church sent Barnabas with their authority to establish it as a church. That's how it works. That's the biblical model. All right. Very important. So, in our notes, we kind of went through this. The last point of letter A there, they left Antioch and went to Cyprus. Paul and Barnabas did. Up into Asia Minor, and then after a year and a half, returned to Antioch. Doing what? Well, we call it today furlough. To report to the church that sent them. They come back and tells the church, how is it going? You see? This is all biblical. We didn't make this up. All right, letter B. Then they had a second missionary journey. That's the blanket. On their second missionary journey, Paul was called from Asia to Greece. Also spelled out in Acts 16. And so Paul went to Greece, and Philippi was their second stop there. And Paul was there about 3 months, and the Philippi Baptist Church was born. And Paul planted that church, but it wasn't on Paul's authority. It was on the authority of where? Antioch Baptist Church. See it? Antioch Baptist Church gave Paul the authority to go plant a church in Philippi. You see it? Okay. And Acts 16 tells us about that. Number 3. So then, sometime later on, Philippi Baptist Church adopted Paul as their missionary. That's pretty cool. That's the blank, missionary. Maybe at the end I'll kind of do a visual and kind of help you see all this come together. And so Paul was supported, that's the blank. Paul was supported financially by Philippi Baptist Church. And so what happened was Philippi Baptist Church became a sending church. Let's see, I think I want to just do it. I'm just going to do it. If we don't finish this lesson, I'll give you blanks later. I need some helpers. I need to be a helper. I need 3 helpers. Robbie, Justin. Who else? Sabrina? Yay! All right. Okay. Robbie. Actually, let's let Sabrina be. You will be in Jerusalem Baptist Church. Okay? So you come right here. All right. You will be Philippi Baptist. But you don't exist yet, so sit down. Okay? All right. You will be Antioch Baptist Church. Okay? Easy. All right. So, you don't exist yet either. Sit down. So, Jerusalem Baptist Church was the first church. Jerusalem Baptist Church spread because of persecution. We're not going to deal with it all. Members of that church came over here. Robbie, you come over, sit right here. They came over to Antioch, got saved. Jerusalem Baptist Church heard there were people saved in Antioch. So they sent Barnabas over here. And Barnabas established, yes, these are believers. Barnabas presumably baptized them because you can't baptize without authority from another church. So they sent Barnabas with their authority. Under the authority of Jerusalem Baptist Church, these saved people were then baptized. And then Barnabas, with the authority of that church, started Antioch Baptist Church. Yay! Okay. So then, Antioch Baptist Church brought Paul along. Barnabas went and got Paul. He came on staff. Amen? All right. So then Barnabas and Saul were sent from Antioch Baptist Church as missionaries. And they planted churches all over. One of the churches was here in Philippi. So Paul and Barnabas, to Philippi, saw souls saved in Philippi, baptized them, again, not with their own authority, but with the authority of where? Antioch Baptist Church, and started Philippi Baptist Church. Yay! All right. So then I'll be the Apostle Paul. I leave Philippi. Say that. I leave. I start planting churches. At some point along the way, Philippi Baptist Church gets a burden for Paul the missionary. Now, Paul was sent from where? Antioch. So Antioch presumably is helping somehow financially, but maybe not enough. And by the way, while Paul was in Philippi, he was doing tents and stuff, support himself. So he was a bivocational missionary. He was probably partly supported by the church that sent him, but also doing tents and stuff. Philippi Baptist Church got a burden for Paul, and they began to financially help Paul. Okay? And so they have no authority over Paul. They do. But they want to help. And so, as the missionary, Antioch Baptist Church was their sending church. Philippi was their first supporting church. See it? This is what the Bible lays out. And so after that, Paul said, maybe we won't deal with it. I'll just give you the blank. But Paul said in Philippians, you are the first church to do this, to give time and again financially to me. So time again means more than one time, maybe monthly, potentially. I don't know. That's what we do. You don't have to do it that way. But time and again, they supported Paul so he can be on the field. And Paul said, I'm out here working on the field. And whenever someone got saved under my ministry, Philippi, you were a part of that, Philippi Baptist Church. That's fruit that abounds to your account. So they got to be a part. Even though they have no authority, they were still a part of it. You see it? Are we doing this? Are we seeing this? And so, but Paul said the church was the first church to do that, implying what? There are more. And so the Apostle Paul had several supporting churches, but one sending church. And every time he came back, he reported where? And he went to other churches and told them what's going on. But primarily, he needed to go back and report to where the authority, what? Are we seeing this? This is not something we made up. This is exactly what we do, but we didn't make it up. This is in the Bible. And so we have missionaries. Each one of our missionaries has a sending church. And we have the privilege of being one of the supporting churches. And because most missionaries, their home church isn't like millionaires, and they're not able to fully support a missionary they send out, so because of that, we get behind them and help them to have full support. That way they don't have to go make tents. And there's some guys who are like, no, missionaries should just go work too. That's not what Philippi Baptist Church thought. They're like, Paul needs to stop making tents and go preach. So they supported him. You see it? Yeah, today there are some churches, there's some nations that will not allow a missionary to work. Like if they're able to be a missionary on a visa, they cannot work. And so someone has to support them. So there's that. But even if they can work, honestly, I don't really want them to. I want them to give their life to preaching the gospel. Now, can they do that while they work? Of course they can. But you know there's limitations to that. There's some limitations. How are you going to have a Bible study with somebody who's lost while you're also making tents? Now, God can do that. And God did that in Philippi. But Philippi, even though they were the beneficiaries of Paul working a job, had a burden. The first ones to have a burden to support the guy. So you didn't have to do that. How are we doing? You see? This is missions. Thank you. You can sit down. All right, please. Great job. So this is how it works. And so when we see Philippi Baptist Church here giving to Paul, question, where did they get the money to send to Paul? Was it the what? Who were, did they just find it in the dirt? Were they like Jesus and Peter fishing and there's coins in the fish? No, the people gave. And Paul, we're learning in 2 Corinthians. Remember the churches in Macedonia? So the churches in Macedonia that gave to that church at Jerusalem. Remember that? You know who one of those churches is? Philippi. So the church at Philippi, Paul says they are poverty. That's what he said in 2 Corinthians. This is a church that's in poverty. But they are still, even though they're in poverty, giving toward Paul and apparently toward Jerusalem. You see that? And so missions, Faith Promise Missions, isn't just there to only plant new churches necessarily. Church of Jerusalem was an established church. It was the oldest church in existence. It's the first one. But they were struggling. And so the church that the Philippi Baptist Church supported and helped the Jerusalem Baptist Church, while at the same time sending the Apostle Paul. Now this is getting complicated. And at this point, there's only one missionary around, as far as we know. But now we have lots of missionaries. But this is how it works. We got to get a system in place so that we can accomplish all of this, right? And that's Faith Promise Missions. And so as you give, as the members of the church at Philippi gave to their missions program, you see, then the church at Philippi then gave some of that missions money to Paul, the missionary, and gave some of that to Jerusalem, and we don't know what else. Maybe other churches had needs, you see. But what we're called to do is to work our field and at the same time help others work their field. See it? And Church at Corinth was doing that. The Church at Corinth was giving to the church at Jerusalem, and I would guess to say probably helping Paul as well, you see, because there were other churches involved with helping Paul out. How are we doing? Does it all make sense? Okay, so we'll be done here very, very soon. So number three, we said that Paul was adopted as their missionary. Letter B of that, we might not give you all the blanks, but time and again, that means that they gave, that the blank is again, they gave to Paul more than once. They continued to give. It was a sacrifice, letter C, Paul had told them. Their giving was a sacrifice. And here's the most important part that we can tell you this whole time. Letter D. The plan of Philippi Baptist Church that they gave to Paul smelled good to God. That's what Paul said. The sweet-smelling savor to God. God loved it. Hey, God loved it when the church at Philippi gave the Apostle Paul. Pretty awesome. And so underneath that, here's the plan. Number two, a man is called by God's Spirit. He is sent out by a local scriptural church that has authority. And then he is supported by the faith promise giving of God's people in New Testament churches. That's God's plan. That's what God is pleased with. That's what God accepts. That's a sweet-smelling savor to God's nose. How are we doing? Number four. Big number four. Because of that, Paul made sure they knew God blessed them. God blessed Philippi Baptist Church. Again, we told you, letter A, because of their faith promise giving to Paul, Philippi Baptist Church had fruit, that's the blank, had fruit abounding. Because they gave to Paul, anything that Paul did, hey, every time Paul reported, hey, I planted this church, hey, this person got saved, every time that happened, that was fruit that applied to Philippi Baptist Church's account. And every time Brother Steve gets up here and reads reports of our missionaries, hey, this happened, this person got saved. We learned about Tim last week. Tim got saved. That was fruit. Tim's eternal soul, fruit to our account. And you're telling me, you can't convince me that missions money is wasted investment. It's not. We're investing in eternity here, literally speaking. Like, literally, we sent, that was Brother Drinker, wasn't it? No, that was Brother, I'm all messed up. I was so excited about Tim, I forgot where he was. I don't remember. Okay, but we gave to a missionary, and there's a good shot if churches like ours like the church of Philippi, weren't sending him, he wouldn't be able to be there, and he wouldn't be able to have the time, because he, you know, he's not working, to invest in Tim. And so in a very real sense, Tim, partly the reason why Tim is saved today is because of whoever in here that gives to Faith Promise Missions. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing. Okay, that's what Paul was telling them. He didn't even feel bad about telling them that. He was happy about it. And so, let it be. The other way that God blesses is this. My God shall supply all your need. Hey, that's all the blanks, isn't it? I did it. My God shall supply all your need. Now remember, what is that? What is he talking about? Remember, Philippi was a poverty-stricken place. The members were poor. And they decided, even in their poverty, to give. Now, were they unwise? I don't think so. We're going to talk about that today, this morning. We don't need to be unwise. But if we, but they knew that God wanted them to be involved somehow. Hey, God wants all of us to be involved somehow. And they all got involved, each one of them. We're going to talk about it this morning. They purposed in their heart, each member of Philippi Baptist Church, even though they were in poverty, purposed in their heart how that God would have them give. And if they all did that, whoever does with the money that God gives them what God wants them to do with it, you can know this. God will take care of you. He'll supply all your need. That's what Paul said. Because you used it the way God says to use it. Remember, God's the one who provides for us anyway. We're going to talk, there's a lot of overlap for this morning. God's the one who takes care of us. He's the one who gave us all that we have. How foolish would it be to disobey the one who provides because we need more? No, we obey him and we trust him and know that he will provide what we need. That's what happened there. So, hope that helps you. Hope that it makes sense to you. We're going to pray and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege it is that we can be a part of Faith Promise Missions and seeing your gospel and your work being done throughout the world. Thank you for it. Help us all to know how you'd have us to be a part of it. We love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.